Choir for that song, Sanctuary. How many knows what sanctuary means? House of God, house of prayer. So, if we are to be a living sanctuary, we are to be a living what? House of prayer, yes. So, that is a good thing for us to remember. Sanctuary, the house of prayer. God's sanctuary. And that's why we're here today. And today we are looking into Luke chapter 16. There we go. Technology. Isn't it great? All right. So, this morning we're going to be looking at the unrighteous steward or the unjust steward, as some translations places it in our Bibles. So, I'm in Luke chapter 16, be reading 1 through 12. And the unrighteous steward, this is a parable, one of the 39 that Jesus spoke, and this is an important one as well. We are not to misuse the resources that God has given us. We're not to use them for our own self-gain, but for God's honor and glory. And when He puts us in charge, or when He gives us something to do in the church, whether it's a leadership position or any type of positions that we serve in, we are to do it to honor Him. The scripture says, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. And that is not what this parable is about, because he was unrighteous in his selfishness of self-gain. And whatever we do, we are to do it with gladness upon our hearts and as unto the Lord. So follow along with me as I begin with verse 1. Now, he was also saying to the disciples, this is Jesus, when it says, now Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and he said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to him, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. It means he don't want to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will come to me into their homes. And he summons each of his master debtors. And he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. His master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relations to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of the unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth or possessions, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, Who will give you that which is your own? Now you know why the disciples asked Jesus to explain the parables to them. Even they did not always understand because they was not in the right spirit at times when they should be. And it is close to the unbelievers because they do not have the spirit or discernment of the Spirit of God. So in these parables, again, it is to teach us the righteous and spiritual things of God through scriptures and through the revelation, the inspiration of God. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus advised to us, be shrewd as servants and innocent as doves. So when I'm looking at this scripture this morning, and I want us to all look at it very carefully, what Jesus was communicating was how we should be as cunning, or rather strategic in our business activities as the serpent who deceived Eve in the garden. Satan is very shrewd. He's very tricky. He twists things. And false teachers in our society today has a way of making something that looks right and twist it to turn it into something not good, just like Satan did with Eve in the garden. So, however, at the same time, we need to be harmless and approved above reproach, might I say, seeking God's judgment in everything that we do. In Romans chapter 16, verse 19, Paul summarized this by saying, I want you to be wise above what is good. And then it says, and innocent about what is evil. So as we study the scriptures, as we look into the scriptures and read it and rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us discernment, then we have the right answers. We can understand what shrewdness and innocent and cunning and strategic is in our life and how we handle things in our life. Things that come to us that maybe we don't understand. And there's many things in this world we don't. But when it comes to the Word of God is given to us so that we can deal with things in life, in our personal life, in the business world, in the church, in world affairs, whatever it might be. And Jesus was instructing the disciples so they might understand and have the discernment of the Spirit to be able to be wise in their thinking. Now, here again, the Pharisees had turned life upside down, and they was using people to gain things. And that's not how God operates. That's not how he wants people to operate. Jesus set the values right, pointed to the worth of individuals to loving God. See, that's our responsibility. Point people to loving God ourselves, and pointing other people to loving God. And Jesus showed that the servant of God must use things to gain the good of men and both women. Now, this is the point of the story of the shrewd manager, called in some versions unjust servant or steward. Stewards or servants. So Jesus commended him because he was wise enough to use things to gain other ends. But what he was doing was not right. It was not right. So we too are to determine what is to be used and what is to be gained. And we must then remain faithful in our commitment to the truth that people are greater value in life. The manager didn't see it this way until he was corrected by Jesus. So Jesus taught in verse 13, which I did not read, no man can serve two masters. When Jesus was talking to the churches in Revelation, he also uses the same term. You can't serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. Now, as believers, as you and me, as believers, we should put forth this thought and care into helping people come to know Jesus Christ and this message that Jesus wants communicated in this parable. That's what Jesus is teaching here this morning. Now, first of all, let's look at the poor steward of another's welfare, and that's in verses 1 and 2. As I look at this particular parable, Jesus told the story of a rich man who had a steward. One who he had forgotten. Now, that he was a steward and began to act as if he were the owner. He got things kind of turned around, twisted a little bit. So he became what I would call a prodigal steward who wasted his master's wealth. That's what he did. He squandered it. That's what the prodigal son did to his heir, the heirs of the heritage that he received. He went out and just blew it until he came to his senses, and he came back to the father and said, "Forgive me. I was not wise in what I did." So was this steward here. So his master heard about it and immediately asked for an inventory of his goods and an audit of his books. He also then fired the steward. That's a good practice, auditing. So in the Old Testament, a steward is a man who is over their house. In the New Testament, there are two meanings related to the steward. First of all, let's look at that. Is one whose care or honor has been entrusted, a courier, or a guardian. And that's the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, it's a manager or a superintendent. And, I was thinking about this definition of this, and it's the same term we use for economics. Think about that. Same word in the Greek, and we use in the English language for economics. And we know all about economics, don't we? All dealing with that now in our life. So in verse 1, we are told that the steward was wasting the goods, the master's goods. He was just squandering, wasting it. So in verse 2, he was irresponsible as a steward over someone's household that he had been entrusted to. The master took away everything that he had been given. He just took it away. He said, "Okay, if that's the way you're going to conduct business or taking care of my affairs, then I will remove it from you." So we as Christians, you think about this now, we as Christians are responsible for the household of God, all the affairs of the household of God, the gifts and the talents that he has given us. I mean, when you look at the whole picture of stewardship, it's what God has given us individually or as a church, as a corporate worship of people, we come together to serve. See, God brought us into this world to worship him, to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has entrusted in us, just like Paul said, God has entrusted you a special calling, Timothy. Guard it with your life. It has been entrusted to you as a sacred oath and commitment to God Almighty to use that gift for God's honor and glory. And the same purpose and the parable that is teaching us here today, whatever God has given us as possessions or as a gift, we are to be good stewards. We are not to say, okay, I can't do it any longer. I'm just going to not do anything. Well, then it was taken away from this steward because of that attitude. So, we as Christians are responsible for the household of God. We too need to be careful not to waste our master's resources then, like the unjust steward, so that what has been entrusted will not be taken away from us as well. We are to be good stewards. Now, we are to be good stewards with people entrusted to our care within the church or in our own personal relationships. Now, the Lord has given the church an awesome responsibility to be good stewards of His kingdom. That means we are to be adding to God's kingdom the souls and the lives of those who do not know Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is also referring to. It's a huge picture for us as a church to see what God has given us. He gives us people. And we are to take care. We are to nurture. We are to teach each other and teach those who come into our sanctuary, the house of prayer, the things of the Lord, that we can serve Him much, much better as well. All right, let's move on to the next point here. A wise steward of his own welfare, and that's in verses 3 through 8. In verse 3, the unjust steward said, and this is what he said, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to dig." Now, let's look at this very carefully. Is this steward, or this one, this person, making an excuse? Or was he becoming relaxed? Or kind of just say, okay, I'm just not going to do anything? Or he wasted the owner's possessions. So the steward said that he couldn't dig. And what I'm thinking here, I think it's safe to point out that what the steward was really saying, I will not dig. That's what he's saying. Digging is hard work, right? How many of you have got a shovel and dug? Yeah, post hole diggers, you know? I remember living on the farm, being raised up. I was young in my teenage days. And my uncle, my grandfather, they was going somewhere else, another field, and they had to go get some supplies. And they handed me some post hole diggers. And they said, we need 10 posts dug. You start here and you go there to that building and stop. It was dry summer. The ground was hard. I tell you what, I didn't have my gloves and I had blistered all my hands. So what I thought, well, what's going to make this easier to dig? So I went and got me a 5-gallon bucket of water, and everywhere I was going to dig, I just poured that water in that hole. I wish I had thought of that earlier before I got the blisters on my hands. But it's hard, isn't it? Digging is hard. And this steward did not want to dig. Digging is hard, and the steward didn't want to tire himself with physical or mental labor. That's what I'm seeing here. We also see that he was maybe too proud to dig. The unjust steward didn't care about the welfare of his master's property. He also only concerned about his own being. And Jesus said in verse 8, "The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generations than the sons of light. And he was emphasizing how those who are worldly spend more time and more effort on trying to secure their own welfare than they spend spiritual matters and the things eternally. Jesus was thinking not only here in the physical world, but eternally. See, we are to be investing eternally for God. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. And all the other things in this world, the other things that we need, will be given to us. They will be yours. So that's, they appear interested in their own desires than they are about the welfare or the Master's Bible or God. So, stewardship's important. And sometimes, I believe, Christians act like sons and daughters of the world rather than the sons and daughters of God's kingdom. And that's what Jesus was emphasizing here to the disciples, giving them an important spiritual lesson, because the Pharisees was acting indignant towards the Lord in their service and in their attitude towards the Lord. So the unjust steward was commended for his creativity and his resourcefulness and his creative thoughts, not necessarily for his decisive activities in his life. So we need to take this worldly stewardship and channel it into the things of God. What Jesus is saying here, how do we apply this to our own lives? Can you imagine how fast churches would be growing if we took what Jesus is saying here as being good stewards for the kingdom of God and doing it as unto him? If we would put this kind of thought and energy into God's kingdom, look how God would bless. Now, how do we handle God's business like it's our own? Verses 9 through 12. I believe as I looked at this particular parable, I see two applications here for us, for me and for you, for all of us. And the first application is deal with possessions for God entrusted us, momentarily resources to use for his glory. His glory. And that's why Jesus said, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, unto the Father. See, it can be seen this way as well. People who are unfaithful in the way that they use possessions are unfaithful in the way they use true riches of God's kingdom. See, God will not commit his true riches to individuals or ministries if we waste them. Now, the second application deals with the spiritual investing. And that's what God is looking for in our lives, each and every one of us individually. What can we do for the kingdom of God as a church, as an individual? What can we do? Now, let's look at this way. It is tragic to see how God's resources are being misused by Christians who live as though Jesus never died, his judgment is never coming. It is one of these days. Think about the heritage of the past must be used wisely in the present, guarantee that spiritual individuals in the future, of those who come and who follow us as well. See, all of us should want to meet people in heaven who trusted Christ because we helped them to, and we paved the way for the gospel of witnessing and sharing our faith with others in our area or in our community, in our world around us, and then around the world itself. See, we need to be diligent in using spiritual resources, our gifts that will reach souls for Christ and for his kingdom. See, Jesus was was sharing an important piece of information of the gospel with his disciples right here. And it takes me back to when Jesus ascended into heaven. And Jesus had spent 33 years upon this earth, and the last 3.5, he really narrowed it down with his disciples and teaching them what was important in life. Jesus went about doing good, healing people, and forgiving them of their sins, and saying, go and do something for me. But he first said, go and sin no more. But what he was saying, go and do something for me. Do something, what you have experienced, and share it with others. And as Jesus was ascending into heaven, and the angels there said, why are you looking into heaven? The same Jesus that has been taken back to heaven will come again. You know, I don't know how much you think about what's going on in the world today, but it wouldn't be too soon for me, would it? You? For the Lord to come back. But we don't know. So we are to be diligent. Jesus said, you know, be diligent in what you do. Be diligent and be faithful. What I have given you, the gifts, to be my witnesses. And upon that commandment, Jesus said, you know, before he ascended, you know, you go. And you keep on doing the things you've been taught. And you will have the power and the authority from on high to help you succeed in witnessing and being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. See, manifold means many, many graces, many things in life that will help us to understand God's greatest riches in the kingdom of heaven. Now, the people that God uses are creative and wise about how they utilize God-given gifts and abilities. The things that we do in church, what we do individually, the things that we love to do are the natural things that that come to our mind, that how we use our gifts and our talents in the church. And Jesus admonished us to be just as clever in the use of our resources as we would our own, his resources. And we need to take all the creativity and cunning that we have learned from our survival in this crooked world and apply that same innovative capability to building the kingdom of God. See, that's the way we are investing our lives to the Lord. And we will one day find ourselves rewarded as we enter the gates of heaven. So we, Christians, you know, every time we do something for the glory of God, there's a reward for that. Not that we're looking for that, but that's the blessings of serving the Lord. When you think about all the things that people do upon this earth, you know, as far as sports or activities or academically, when you go far and beyond what you are called to do or asked to do, there are rewards, right? We get rewarded for the things that we do. The most important thing, the spiritual rewards that we receive, are what we do for the Lord. And that was sort of the thing that Jesus said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this other will be given to you. That's what the Lord is looking for in our lives, the Christian's life, those who are really committed to Him, to serve, and to add to the kingdom of God. I believe that's what this parable is all about. It's a great lesson for the disciples. It was a hard lesson for the Pharisees and those who were indignant to the teachings of the Lord. But you know what? It's a blessing to us that we have these words so we know exactly what we are responsible and what we are to do or even commanded to do. And some things, you know, the Great Commission is not an option. It doesn't say if we go, but it says as you go. That's what that means in the Greek form. As you go, make disciples. As you go, use your gifts. As you go, you're blessing the kingdom of God with the life that you allow Jesus Christ working in and through your life. The kingdom of God is being built upon our lives, in our lives, as we speak today. That's how God is working through the church in our lives individually. Very obviously, it is. Just think about that. A great lesson for us in these parables. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the great lessons that you teach us. And sometimes we don't always understand them, but as we read your word and as the Holy Spirit teaches us and gives us that discernment, oh, it becomes very clear of our responsibility as Christians. And it is our responsibility. And you have given us an awesome responsibility to step up and to serve and to give of our lives in all the ways, Lord, that helps grow your kingdom. And oftentimes we think when it comes to stewardship, it's financially. But that's not at all. That's not all. It's our lives and the calling you've placed in our lives. The possessions and material things are spiritual as well. Lord, we thank you that you have called each one of us to be ministers. You called us all to be accountable. And Lord, you're the best God, you're the best boss that anyone could ever have because you're holy and you love us. You have placed us here on this earth to do some incredible things for your kingdom. And thank you for that opportunity. And Lord, I thank you for the people here at Versailles Baptist Church. And we thank you for all the churches who are working together to build your kingdom. And all 39 parables that we have been studying so far, not all of them, we haven't gone through, but you mentioned as this is like the kingdom of God. You're teaching us about heaven. You're teaching us about your ways and how we can be better servants for you and to each other. So help us ponder and reflect upon the words today from your word. I'm just a spokesman. And we're all servants of yours. We praise your holy name, Lord, and we thank you that the calling that you placed in our lives and the calling that you place upon us during the invitation. And our responsibility is just to respond, Lord. by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your love. And it comes to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary. In his precious name we pray. Amen.